Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on Tawakkul and Yaqeen. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu an an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal yadkhulu al-jannata aqwamun af'idatuhum mithlu af'idati at-tayri. Rawahu Muslim. Hadith Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some people will enter Jannah whose hearts are like the hearts of birds. Some people will enter Jannah whose hearts, these people's hearts will be like the hearts of birds. So ulama explain what is meant by this, that these people's hearts will be like the hearts of birds. Here is the comparison between the hearts of these people who enter Jannah, these Jannatis, and birds. So what is the comparison between these people's hearts and birds? Ulama explain the comparison between their hearts and the hearts of the birds. A bird's hearts, one of two things, is it's very soft. Very gentle hearts Allah Ta'ala has given these birds. And because they got very gentle hearts, they're very receptive to external impulses. So very, very receptive these birds are to external impulses. So these mu'mineen that have been entered into Jannah, their hearts also are very receptive. If they hear something about deen, they hear something about Jannah, they hear something about Jahannam, their hearts are very receptive to what they're hearing about Akhirah, to what they're hearing about deen. Their hearts are not hard. The person's heart is hard, then he's not receptive. Sometimes he can see people passing away in front of him. He can be involved in ghusls, he can be involved in burials, but the thought of akhirat also won't come in front of him when his heart is hard. When his heart is hard. But on the other hand, when you've got a person whose heart is soft, he may just hear of somebody passing away and then automatically tears come to his eyes. Automatically this person is softened up. Automatically this person becomes very, very receptive. So this is the first thing ulama explained. The other is when you look as far as birds is concerned, that تَغْدُوا خِمَاسًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا, that birds, they leave in the morning, they leave hungry and they return full. In other words, their tawakkul is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person has to go and examine that nest. You won't find any fridge there, you won't find any freezer there, you won't find any pantry there, you won't find any stocks there, nothing. They leave in the morning full of tawakkul. Their tawakkul is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The yaqeen is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Completely, they leave in the morning trusting in Allah ta'ala, they come back full. So these people, their hearts were like that, completely trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people entered Jannah. So these are one of the two reasons ulama explained. Their hearts are like the hearts of birds. Either they got that level of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they got that level of diqqat, softness in their hearts, like the softness of birds. من دوان محديث عن جابر رضي الله عنه أنه غزا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل نجد فلما قفل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قفل معهم فأدركتمه القائل في واد كثير العضاء فنزل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتفرق الناس يستظلون بالشجر ونزل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تحت سمرة فعلق بها سيفه ونمنا نومة فإذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعونا وإذا عنده أعرابي فقال إن هذا اخترط على سيفي وأنا نائم فاستيقظت وهو في يده صلتا قال من يمنعك مني قلت الله ثلاثا ولم يعاقبه وجلس متفق عليه. هذا جابر رضي الله عنه narrates that he accompanied Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم on an expedition towards Najd. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم returned, he returned with him. In other words, he was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's jamaat going, and when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's jamaat returned, he returned with the jamaat. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu is saying this. It was in the afternoon when they reached a valley, so they were returning now, and it was afternoon. Now we know how hot it is in that part of the world, in the Middle East. It gets very, very hot. So they were returning, it was hot, and now there's no ultra cities, there's no restaurants, there's no takeaways, there's no places where they can just stop and take a rest, except what he's explaining now. He said when they reached a valley in which there were many thorny trees, so this was the shade, this was the ultra city, this was their stop. That they reached one valley and there were some thorny trees there. It was in the afternoon. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dismounted and the people scattered in order to find some shade beneath the trees. So now they were traveling, they came to this valley when there were some thorny trees, now to take some rest in the afternoon. The journey also was very difficult, very arduous. So each person now is explaining in this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he dismounted beneath an acacia tree. In Arabic they call this tree Samura. The Samura tree in English is translated as the acacia tree. It is like thorny trees, like almost like a cactus plant, giving a little bit of shade, not even much shade, but a little bit of shade. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took a rest under one of these trees. Other Sahaba went and found scattered around that valley different of these trees, and they all took some place to take a rest and have a afternoon nap, what we know as a siesta. So hadith goes on to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took his sword and he hung it on this acacia tree and he rested under that tree. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, and all the other Sahaba found spaces around, scattered around, they did the same thing, they went and they rested under the tree. So this, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu says that when this happened, we all were resting, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began calling out for us. So imagine you resting and wake up, and then we saw that there was a man that was by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called out to them, so they woke up and they rushed towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On reaching him, we saw a Bedouin next to him. There was one Baddu, a Bedouin, next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to us, now he's narrating to us what had happened. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this person, he seized my sword whilst I was asleep. So whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asleep, this Bedouin took the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was hanging on a tree. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I woke up and saw the unsheathed sword in his hand. He then said to me, "May yamna'uka minni," who is going to save you from me? Can you imagine the scene? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is resting, suddenly his eyes open, there's a man with a sword above him, and that man is asking him, "Who is going to save you from me? May yamna'uka minni." Can you imagine the scene? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "Allah," instantly, "Allah will save me from you." Three times. So can you imagine what shiver went in this person's heart when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said, "Allah will save me from you." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said this three times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam did not punish him, and he merely sat down. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's softness was like that. There's a person that took his sword, threatening to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Nabi sallam didn't attack him. Nabi sallam made him sit down, and he called the sahaba, and he explained to him that the whole incident, that this is what happened. That this part of the hadith shows us what reliance Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even on that occasion, waking up from his sleep, somebody with a sword above him, he's saying, "Allah will save me." In another narration, Jabir radiallahu anhu said that we accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the expedition of Dhat al-Riqa. We reached a shady tree and left the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A mushrik came along while the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hanging from the tree. He seized the sword and said, "Do you fear me?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No." He asked, "Who is going to save you from me?" He replied, "Allah." A narration of Abu Bakr al-Ismail in his Sahih has said that the man asked, "Who is going to protect you from me?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sword fell from his hand, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it and asked, "Who is going to save you from me?" The man replied, "Be kind when you have power over me." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Do you bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah?" He replied, "No." Imagine, he said, "No." Then, however, he said that, "I promise you that I will not fight against you, nor will I support any people who fight against you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted him to leave. He went to his people and said, "I have come to you from the best of people." Imagine what akhlaq. It affected him so much that he went back to his people and he gave them dawah that I'm coming to you from amongst the best of people. And there's a man who I took a sword to go and kill, but yet he showed me such brilliant akhlaq. He didn't attack me, he didn't fight me, he didn't harm me, that he allowed me to go scot-free. I'm coming to you people from the best of people. Where on earth can you find a person like this person? May Allah Ta'ala give us also the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the iman of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the yaqeen. We'll never reach that level, but we must have some hope that Allah Ta'ala give us some portion of that type of yaqeen, that type of love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.